Thank you for joining today's podcast. Today we continue a series entitled Discover Your Spiritual Gift. Today we will talk about how to deploy your spiritual gift. The purpose of this series is to help us all understand the importance of discovering, developing, and deploying the spiritual gifts God has given faithful believers so we can use those gifts to benefit the church and the community. Our text today comes from 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable adulteries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Last verse, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now in the humblest manner that we know how, asking that you will open the windows of heaven, pour out blessings that we don't even have room enough to be able to receive. Lord God, that you will decrease me and increase you, that your word will not return void, and that we will not leave this podcast the same way that we came. In your precious and holy name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the text on today, Peter said, since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Think of your sufferings as a weaning from the old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being bullied by what you want. We have already put in our time living a fast and empty life. What more can we expect out of the emptiness that occurs when we reach the bottom of the alcohol bottle? We have seen it before. What more can we expect other than the same lack of fulfillment that happens once we are reminded money didn't provide the permanent happiness we hoped it would? Peter said, now is the time to be done with that life for good. Of course, your old friends don't understand why you don't join in with the old gang anymore, but you don't have to give an account to them. They're the ones who will be called on the carpet and before God himself. Listen to the message. It was preached to those believers who are now dead, and yet even though they died, just as all people must, they will still get in on the life that God has given in Jesus. Everything in this world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically everything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different gifts God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's generous help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. Hallelujah to the end of time. Auburn University football won the college football national championship in 2010. They were undefeated at 14-0 with a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, Cam Newton. After the 2010 season, however, Auburn had two very bad seasons and went 11-14 for the next 2 years. Sports analysts tried to figure out the problem. The analysts were confused because Auburn, during the losing years, had the same head coach as the national championship team. Auburn played in the same stadium as the national championship team. Auburn played by the same rules as the national championship team. They used the same uniforms and they ran the same plays, but they lost as many games in 2011 through 2012 as they won in 2010. The difference for the Auburn was super talented Cam Newton left for the NFL. The main coordinators and recruiters left for head coaching jobs at other colleges, and that left Auburn's head coach all by himself. The same head coach that won the national championship 2 years earlier lost his job 2 years later. That head coach was only successful because he knew how to use the gifts and talent around him. When the gifted and talented were gone, the success was gone. Furthermore, it is important to remain humble because without God's gifts, we can do absolutely nothing. The old song says, without God, we would be just like a ship without a sail. My mom used to love singing that song during devotion. Author Stephen Blandino once said, it's easy in today's culture to orient ourselves solely around ourselves. Life can become centered on me, my wants, and anything that will benefit me. But Jesus calls us to be able to choose a posture of selfless service. God calls us to service, and God equips us to serve. How? By depositing gifts and abilities in us. Aren't you glad that He's given you gifts and abilities? Our job is to embrace the three keys to selfless service: discover, develop, and deploy your gifts, and disciple others to do the same. Point number one, deploy your spiritual gift. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Peter is talking to believers, and it's clear every one of them has received a gift from God. No, you're not left out. Peter didn't say, if you have a gift, use it. He said, whatever gift you have received, use it to the glory of God. Start looking for your gift. Peter also gives instructions to serve others with your gifts so that God may be praised. In other words, we are to deploy gifts with humility to benefit others and glorify God. Humility is what puts the selfless in your service. Humility is what keeps your gift from being turned into a small G-O-D. Why is this important? To discover your gifts with clarity, develop our gifts intentionally, and deploy our gifts with humility, because in the beginning, God gave us the gift of life. 2,000 years ago, God gave us the gift of His only begotten Son. His name was Jesus. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave His life. 2,000 years ago, the Holy Ghost gave birth to the church. Today, the church must give sacrificially of our time, talent, and treasure in order to carry out the mission of Jesus Christ. The mission is the why behind the what. The mission is what adds purpose to the discovery, development, and deployment of our gifts. You will experience fulfillment because because there's a sense of satisfaction when using a spiritual gift. While the early exercise of a gift may come with a bit of nervousness, there should ultimately be some sense of satisfaction. Fruitfulness is all about the benefit your gift brings to people and situations. When you use your gift, good things should happen. Point number two, how you can deploy your spiritual gift. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Aren't you glad that love covers a multitude of sin? Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. Somebody say good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Scripture provides multiple examples of the gifts God deposits within us. Passages like Exodus 35, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12 talk about all kinds of gifts like craftsmanship, designing, serving, teaching, giving, leading, faith, mercy, discernment, healing, miracles, and words of wisdom, just to name a few. The point is, we all have gifts. Our responsibility is to discover them so we can use them. How? One way is to take a spiritual gifts assessment like the one I mentioned on gifts.com. I hope by now, as this is part three of the series, you have taken the test. Another strategy is to clarify your gifts, is to look for the sweet spot of potential gifts. In other words, choose a gift you think you might have, begin to exercise that gift, and then ask yourself whether you experience fulfillment, fruitfulness, and positive feedback. Let me say that one more time. Begin to exercise a gift. If you think you might have that gift, practice it, exercise it, and then ask yourself whether you experience fulfillment, fruitfulness, and positive feedback. Point number three, why you should deploy your spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. For the time past of our life may suffice of us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walk in lasciviousness, in lust, excess of wine, revelings, drunken partying, and abominable idolatries, everything in the world is about to be wrapped up. Stay in prayer. Love each other as if your life depended on it. Trust in God with your whole heart and trust that His gifts create our purpose. Our purpose should be inside of His will. Can you imagine how God will feel when the people He gave His gift to use it to build the kingdom of God? Let me say that one more time. Can you imagine how God will feel when the people He gave His gift to use it to build the kingdom of God? In other words, imagine the possibilities for the church and community once people with His gift discover they have it. I hope on today, as we bring a conclusion to this series, that you will have discovered your gift, developed your gift, and deployed your gift. Why? Because can you imagine how God will feel when the people He gave His gift to use it to build the kingdom of God? In other words, imagine the possibilities for the church and community once people with His gift discover that they have it. Let us bow in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you on today for the conclusion of this series. We thank you for everything that you have put in us as we have learned to discover our gift, as we've learned to develop our gift, and as we've learned to deploy our gift so that we can use it for the building of your kingdom, that we will do it in love, that we will do it in kindness, and God, that we will do it in humility. We ask right now, God, that our gifts will be used to uplift others and for the edification of your kingdom. God, we ask right now that you will look on those that are sick, that you will look on those that are shut in. Lord God, that you will continue to bless those that are experiencing loss and bereavement, that are without jobs right now, that are in isolation. Lord God, that are going through depression. Lord, that are trying to figure out how to make ends meet. Lord, that are trying to figure out how to connect with family and friends and how to navigate in these perilous times. But God, we know that you are in absolute control. And so we cast our cares on you because you careth for us. That every family will continue to be knitted together. That every employer will be able to make that payroll. And that every community, God, will be led by leaders that are bold, that are transparent, and that inspire others to live out the purpose in their lives. Lord God, we cast our cares on you because we know that you careth for us. In your precious and holy name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.